And now to San Francisco. In the early 1940s, the city's Japantown was the beating heart of life for more than 1,000 people. It was a vibrant community with an aquarium store, a bathhouse, and more than 200 businesses owned by those of Japanese descent. But all that changed in 1942 after FDR issued Executive Order 9066, which designated the majority of the West Coast as a military zone and banned anyone of Japanese descent from living there. Thousands of Japanese Americans were forced out of their homes and incarcerated in camps. A new data analysis from the San Francisco Chronicle documents Executive Order 9066's full impact on the Japantown community. For more, let's bring in one of the reporters, Peter Hartlob, culture critic with the San Francisco Chronicle, is with us. Welcome, Peter, to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Before we get into some of the data, I'd really love if you could paint a picture of what Japantown was like before Japanese Americans were forced out in the 1940s.
Yeah, it was the kind of community that right now we would celebrate, thriving, very walkable, using all of the ground level for businesses and people living above it, and multi-ethnic. There were a lot of people of Japanese descent welcoming Filipino Americans, welcoming white and black Americans. It was a model community in San Francisco.
And as your reporting explains, Japantown formed because Japanese immigrants in San Francisco had nowhere else to go. I mean, xenophobia was rampant from politicians and newspapers alike, including, as you point out, the Chronicle itself.
Yeah, saying the quiet part out loud, I mean, anti-Asian was in our headlines. There were stories that the Chronicle wrote that was encouraging people not to hire Japanese so they'd go back to Japan. It was very, very hard for them to thrive, but they thrived in our community.
You and your colleagues looked at the data to understand how the mass incarceration of Japanese Americans impacted Japantown. What did you find and what happened after Executive Order 9066 was issued?
Well, every citizen of Japanese descent was sent out of the city. But there was even more of a pattern of oppression before and after that. Not only were they sent out, but our data showed, looking at 1940 and 1950 census records, that we made it very difficult as a country and as a community for the Japanese people to come back. And the people of Japanese descent did come back. And it's really actually an inspiring story, what they had to go through to reestablish a community they already had.
Were any of the residents of Japantown able to hold on to the properties, their homes, the businesses, everything that they had spent years building?
Yeah, they had two months to figure out what to do with all of their belongings and see if they could have a future. So many people use that 2 months to find places to store equipment, find people to take over properties, and eventually come back. There are three businesses in Japantown right now that have a legacy that goes before 1942, and they're still here in town.
This was a forced community that was essentially destroyed. I mean, that's the bottom line, right?
It is, and it's something we don't talk about. There are books and books and books at our libraries about Chinatown and its history, but Japantown, there's very, very little. And that's one reason we wanted to dive into this. We wanted to look into our own archives where everything was underreported, pair it with modern data. And the story that came out, frankly, is something that surprised me and all the people even working on this collaboration.
So when you looked into those archives, how did San Francisco newspapers at the time cover the expulsion of these Japanese Americans and Japanese immigrants from their communities?
Frankly, it was shameful. And it's something that we really highlighted. And we even looked at the Chronicle in our own articles. And often it was framed as if it was a vacation. It was framed in a way that would make the people who remained in San Francisco feel better about all of these neighbors, more than 5,000, being forced out of the city into prison camps. So it was not covered well. And, you know, we're just hoping right now to correct the record and let people know about this point in history.
So after the war ended and Japanese Americans were finally able to leave the camps, many of them returned home to San Francisco. What did they come back to and how had the neighborhoods changed?
Well, the neighborhood had changed radically. It was mostly an African-American neighborhood, and a lot of people who came back had to go to other districts. We have that in our data. The 1950 census data allowed us to plot where every business and every returning citizen came. They were also encouraged by the federal government not to assimilate. They were told, don't go back home, find a new place, be an American somewhere else. But they missed this community, and they ended up rebuilding it. You go now, it's more touristy, but there's a Japantown in San Francisco, and it's a place where we can remember 1942, and they're blazing new traditions as well.
That's Peter Hartlob, culture critic with the San Francisco Chronicle. Peter, important work. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.